KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Nathan Chester and the Old Souls Motown Revival on August 23rd at UC San Diego's Epstein Family Amphitheater. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Hey, San Diego, I'm Andrew Bowen, in for Jade Hindman. The California Supreme Court hands a badly needed victory to the rooftop solar industry. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. Environmental groups are celebrating a ruling from the California Supreme Court related to rooftop solar panels. The state's Public Utilities Commission in recent years has reduced the financial incentives for homeowners to install their own solar power. The High Court didn't overturn those rules currently in place, but it did order lower courts to take a fresh look at them and to more heavily scrutinize the Public Utilities Commission going forward. Here to break down what this means for solar customers and ratepayers is Milena Carollo, business reporter for CalMatters. Milena, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And also joining me is Melinda Dickinson. She argued the case before the Supreme Court on behalf of the Protect Our Communities Foundation, where she serves as legal and executive director. Melinda, welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Melena, I'll start with you. Let's dig into what these financial incentives are that help homeowners pay for rooftop solar panels. What is net metering and how has it been changing in recent years?
Yeah, so net metering is a program where people who have solar panels on their homes, if they generate extra electricity, they can sell it back to the utilities. Previous iterations of the program had a much higher rate that they were able to get. They were able to sell it back to the utilities for the same price that the utilities would then go on to sell that to other customers for. And that was very helpful to customers because it's very expensive to have rooftop solar. And that was part of the way that a lot of folks justified paying the costs for that. And so the new version of it, it's called nicknamed NEM3, that started in mid-April 2023. That lowered the cost by about 75% that folks receive. So instead, with this latest program, they're getting the avoided cost. So what utilities would have had to pay on the open market instead of the retail rate. And so this just dropped it quite a bit for rooftop solar customers.
So this rule that was approved in late 2022, took effect in 2023, basically reduced the amount of savings that a solar customer would see on their electricity bill, right? Can you explain what the reasons were for this change in rules?
The decision was made by the California Public Utilities Commission, and they essentially wanted to strike a balance between costs for customers and getting people to help the state move towards their renewable goals. And so utilities and others had argued that it was too expensive to have it in the way that it was before. And they argued that it was expensive for folks who didn't have solar because they were paying a higher share of fixed costs for things like maintaining the grid. And so the commission wanted to sort of even that out and still encourage people to make renewable decisions, but lower what was called a cost shift.
Melinda, your organization, the Protect Our Communities Foundation, sued the Public Utilities Commission over this new version of net metering. What was your argument in that case?
Our argument was that the commission did not follow the law. They did not follow what's the Public Utilities Code, specifically Section 2827.1, which requires a rooftop solar. The statute refers to it as customer generators and renewable distributed generation. But it's basically the large majority of the customer generators are people that put up rooftop solar on their homes, like you and me. We were advocating that the commission must follow the law. And the legislature in 2013 adopted AB 327 and set forth several factors that the commission has to include and consider when it is coming up with its new tariff system. And the commission did not include all of those factors and did not consider all of the things that the legislature said, this is what you have to consider. On a top line, the legislature said rooftop solar or customer generation has to continue to grow. And instead, what the commission did was they reduced it dramatically. They made it much more difficult to have regular people installing rooftop solar on their roofs at their homes.
So Malena explained the prior versions of net metering gave solar customers a really good deal, essentially getting a lot of that savings on their electricity bills. But the utilities had argued that those solar customers weren't paying their fair share in maintaining the electrical grid, even though they were relying on that grid for safety and reliability. How do you respond to those utility concerns? They say, you know, solar customers are getting a sweet deal, but everybody else is having to pay even more.
Well, what the utilities are talking about when they are saying those kinds of things is just looking at the system myopically. They're just looking at their piece of the electrical system. And what the legislature said in AB 327, in 2827.1, was that the customer generators, the rooftop solar people like you and me, putting solar on their own roofs, that's a system, that's a part of the electrical system that is supposed to coexist with the utility system. So when you're just talking about the costs that are avoided by the utilities when demand on their system is reduced, you're not looking at the part of the system, the big part of the electrical system, the customer generators part of the electrical system that the statute is talking about. So the entire focus on the one issue of the avoided costs on the utility system when demand on the utility system is reduced, that's just looking at a one little piece of the electrical system, and it's not the whole story.
And Malena, what happened to rooftop solar adoption in California after the net metering rules were changed in 2023?
Yeah, so it dropped significantly. There was about an 80% drop in customers requesting connections in 2023 for solar than there was the year prior. And some industry reports that have come out since then show that installations have gone down by about 45% since those new rules took effect.
So that's quite a big drop. Melinda, the impacts of this change in rules was actually an important factor in the legal case that you argued, wasn't it? That solar has to remain viable. That was sort of the goal that was given to the Public Utilities Commission.
Yes, one of the factors that the commission is required to include when it's adopting its new tariff or its new system of rules is that customer-sited renewable distributed generation has to continue to grow sustainably, and there has to be specific alternatives designed for growth among disadvantaged communities.
So those low-income communities are supposed to have an extra incentive to install solar, and you feel they're not getting it.
Well, what's interesting is that the commission itself says, hey, we have all these other programs that exist to help residential customers in disadvantaged communities. But when the commission designed its tariff, it didn't include all those benefits when it was doing its equation to determine the impact of the tariff on all customers in the electrical system. It said, hey, we're not going to include all those benefits. So really, it was just looking at a limited subset of the electrical system, a limited subset of the benefits involved. And it really was not including the benefits of rooftop solar.
We've been talking about the California Public Utilities Commission, which is a very large, very important state body. Malena, can you explain for us what the CPUC actually does and what its mandate is?
Yeah, so the California Public Utilities Commission is the main regulator for utilities in the state. And so a lot of the time when you hear about them, it's regulating power companies. And so they're the ones who are in charge of saying yes or no to rate hikes and making sure that in overseeing regulatory processes for utilities. Anytime a utility has to do something in the state, they go through the CPUC in these sort of very lengthy, convoluted processes. And so they regulate energy. They have oversight of water and rail safety, some rideshare and self-driving cars. They have, you know, their hands in quite a bunch of different buckets.
And how have the actions by the CPUC in recent years been received by the public? What is the public perception of this agency?
Public perception is pretty low of the agency. California has the second highest rates for energy bills in the country, usually after Hawaii. And people really feel those. Those are something that people pay every single month, and they really impact folks' lives. And so utility commission meetings can be pretty dry, pretty boring. But a lot of times, especially at recent commission meetings, customers are deeply angry for all of the rate hikes that the commission has allowed, especially PG&E customers. And groups that represent PG&E customers typically show up with quite a number of folks who let the commission know in no uncertain terms how unhappy they are with them.
And you've heard some colorful language in these meetings, I gather, haven't you?
Yes, there have been folks who said who want them to have poor holidays and choke on their meals.
Yikes. Malena, how has the CPUC itself responded to this ruling that will place them under much more scrutiny going forward?
Yeah, so they put out a short statement when we reached out to them and said that they appreciated the court's attention to which standard should be used for their decision making and that they were pleased that their decision is going to still be in effect while this is all sorted out. And so they haven't responded in depth, but right now they're happy that their decision is still standing while this is going on.
Melinda, your case is now going back to the Court of Appeal to be reheard, essentially. What happens next? What's that process like?
Well, we will have the opportunity to brief the case in light of the Supreme Court's decision, and hopefully we will be able to convince the Court of Appeal that the benefits of rooftop solar facilities must be accounted for, and the tariff has to include all of the factors set forth in the statute, including that it has to grow sustainably everywhere.
Melinda, you talked about the benefits of rooftop solar to society at large. What exactly are those benefits?
Well, there's many different benefits, but one you can think of when millions of rooftop solar customers in California are generating power on hot summer days, they're actually preventing blackouts. Those with batteries as well can ride out blackouts with full power when they occur. People with rooftop solar can add electric vehicles voluntarily. There's no mandate needed. They can because they're generating their own power on site. That's much different than the utility system, where huge solar and wind farms are being built in far away, remote places, and you need to bring that power from far away to the urban centers where the power is used. Rooftop solar customers are generating and using their own power on site. And then when they have extra, it goes to the nearest source. It goes to their neighbors. So there's so many different benefits, and none of those benefits have been considered by the commission. And we're hoping that the Court of Appeal will see that and that the commission will ultimately be required and to make a tariff that includes all of the factors in the statute.
Malena, what stands out to you about this story, and what are you going to be watching as it continues to develop?
I'm going to be watching how this affects future decisions by the CPUC. I think we're not quite sure exactly what this will mean for future decisions, but advocates I've spoken to said that, you know, the CPUC needs to take a little bit of extra care to make sure that its decisions fit within the law. And so I'd be curious to see how exactly this changes decisions, if at all, with the CPUC.
Well, certainly a lot to keep watching here. I've been speaking with CalMatters business reporter Malena Carollo and Melinda Dickinson, legal and executive director of the Protect Our Communities Foundation. Thank you to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today. I'm your host, Andrew Bowen, in for Jade Hindman. Thanks for listening to Midday Edition. Have a great day.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota dealers, presenting the new 2025 Camry with refined design and performance. Visit your local Toyota dealer to learn more about all the features the new 2025 Camry offers. The San Diego County Toyota dealers. We make it easy.